I knew about this experiment when I went to India. I knew that love could heal, and I knew that love was the power that was healing me. I felt the love of the people who cared about me from all over the world. And do you know what I learned being in the hospital? I learned how much easier it is to love than to be loved. I already knew I can love anybody. I had loved people all over the world. And when I wound up in a hospital bed with all of these people sending me love from all over the world, I just didn't know how to handle it. There was this little boy in London that I had never seen. I didn't know him. But he had come to our fellowship office in London with his little piggy bank. And he said, I want to send this to Paul Solomon to help pay his hospital bill. They mailed it to me and I cried, because I didn't know how to handle receiving love. And that's why I needed to be in the hospital. I needed to learn to receive as well as to give. So I learned how hard it is to let people love you and just receive it and let that make you well. So I knew that love could heal, but I needed the experience of seeing it at work. So here I was in Calcutta at the Home for the Destitute Dying. And the first thing that I learned in that place was, I thought, you know, Mother Teresa gets money from all over the world. I thought I was going to a well-equipped clinic. And I had some medical training, medical background. I knew how to start an IV. I had nurses training. I was a medic in the army. So here I was prepared to give antibiotics and pain medication and so on. Walked into the place and I found that we didn't even have towels to work with. Not even a cloth to wash things with. We were using pieces of palm fronds, you know that stuff? Using that to wash dishes. Dipped it in wood ashes. There was no soap. Except the soap that we brought from hotels, the volunteers that were working there brought these little bars of soap so that we could wash the patients. When I got there, everybody was too busy to tell us what to do. So I tried to stop a sister and say, what do I do? What do you need? And she just sort of pushed me aside and said, I'm busy. You get to work. I didn't know what to do, but I did see a bedpan that needed emptying. I didn't know where to empty it, so I picked the thing up and I started to ask somebody, where do I wash this thing out? And again, somebody pushed me to the one side and said, I'm busy. You know, get to work. So I learned real quick that you learn your way around in this place and there's not much to work with. And when I went back to empty this bedpan, I found no running water and no soap and no towels. And, you know, I was sort of stunned by the whole atmosphere. And the place is open to the air. Do you know how hard it is to breathe in Calcutta? People walk around with handkerchiefs over their face so they can breathe the dust in the air. It's heavy, it's dark, you can hardly even see, much less breathe. And the heat, overpowering. So I was pouring with sweat and picking up men off their beds and carrying them back to this little basin of water to give them their baths every morning. I mean, Sister Luke is not your sweetness and light nun. She's a top sergeant, and she doesn't allow bed baths. So we couldn't bring a nice basin of water and wash these dying men in bed. We had to pick them up in our arms, carry them back, set them up on a piece of concrete, and hold them while we bathed them from head to toe, and then change them into clean pajamas. So that's what we were doing. I mean, it was tough, physical work. And I was supposed to be sick. Except I couldn't afford to be, thank God. I couldn't afford to be sick. I didn't have time to be sick. I saw these people and I learned real quick, you've only got one thing to work with here. And this is what they told us. When we went in, they said, look, you need to understand, you have medical training, we know that. You're not here to heal these people. This is a place where you allow people to die with dignity and with love. And that sort of took my breath away. We're not here to make them well. We're here to allow them to die with dignity and love. And what I heard from that is the only instrument that you have for healing in this place is love. Hypodermic needles. Well, we had this child named Bola, 7 years old. He had tuberculosis and he had hepatitis B, very infectious. They were telling us, be careful that he doesn't breathe in your face. But then Bola was laying on this concrete bunker on a little mat, and his little bones, his body looked like a Holocaust victim, and he was unconscious. And we needed to get an IV into his arm to get some moisture into his system. He was dehydrated. And they brought these enormous needles and these tiny little arms. The needle was almost as big as the arm. And I thought, what am I going to do? There was no way to get into a vein in Bola's arm. And so we were trying to find some way to get some fluid started. And I didn't know what to do but pray. So I asked, I said, God, what do we do? And the first thing that came to me was, the insulin is gone, but the insulin needles were packed in a different bag. And I had these tiny little microfine insulin needles, and I got those tiny little needles and I got into Bola's vein. And I thought, you know, this is the way miracles happen. We started this drip IV going into his arm. And then I'm looking at his body laying on this mat, and I'm thinking, this has got to be so uncomfortable for this child. So I picked him up in my arms, and I'm holding him. And holding him, I'm saying, God, teach me to love. That's what I'm here to learn. Teach me to love enough to heal this little boy. Sorry, I'm reliving the experience. Didn't intend to do that. I'm okay. My tears started to fall on this child, and Sister Luke came over immediately and she said, I don't think you're meant to work here. And I said, Sister Luke, don't worry about me. These are healing tears. And she understood immediately, and do you know what she did? She got down on her knees immediately and kissed my feet. When she understood these are healing tears, something clicked for her, and she just went right down to her knees and kissed my feet. And Bola woke up. His eyes came open. He was conscious. So then we started feeding him some mashed banana and some sugar to get something into his system so he became conscious. And you know, as we worked with this child, his sense of humor came alive. Can you imagine that? He thought it was funny that a man would hold him in his arms. That's unheard of in India. I mean, the children are raised by the women. And when a nurse held him, that was all right, one of the ladies. But here he was in a man's arms, and he laughed. He thought that was funny. And so we passed him from man to man. As our arms grew too tired to hold him, we passed him from one person to another. And